Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, career counselor and committed community volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King. Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes just show up to help build what King called a beloved community. And indeed, this region reflects a beloved community in the number of folks engaged in community serving. And these folks also serve our creatures. Today we have with us a committed and amazing volunteer from the Center Valley Animal Rescue Organization, Pat Todd. Welcome, Pat.
Hi, Missy. Thank you.
I am so pleased to meet you and have you on this show. I understand that you have volunteered for years at the Center Valley Animal Rescue.
I have, about 10 and a half years.
And you have done everything from fundraising to training to animal care and writing protocols?
Yeah, being on the board, writing the newsletter, still write the newsletter with Sarah. Mm-hmm.
And Sarah, tell me about Sarah. Sarah is the founding
Sarah executive. Sarah Penhaligon, mm-hmm. She's our founder and director. So this all was her dream, and she has built it up from basically nothing.
Well, for our listeners that don't know much about the Center Valley Animal Rescue, let's start with a little history. I understand it's in Quilcene.
It is.
And it's 32 acres.
It is 32 acres. And actually, the organization, the nonprofit status, was in 2002. So that's when Sarah filed for nonprofit status. And she got that under a different name. We were known as Second Chance Ranch of Jefferson County. Then in 2004, she was looking for some property and happened upon this big bunch of acreage that was available in Quilcene. So she took her father there to see it, telling him that it was fantastic, it was wonderful, it was beautiful. And when he drove up, here's this gate falling off. There's slash everywhere because it had just been cleared. There was this dilapidated old building on it. And he told her, you must have some imagination. And she did, because it's beautiful now.
It's a vision. I went to your property and I was struck by... I was just enchanted. I felt like Dr. Doolittle had their hands in every little nesting area. So what kind of animals are rescued and cared for at this property?
We have a variety. It's incredible. Not only do we have the usual cats, well, they're not always usual. We probably have more cats than most shelters, general shelters, take in. And we have fewer dogs. We don't have as much capacity for dogs. But then we house a lot of other things. So we have the exotics, from iguanas and then the smaller reptiles of bearded dragons, a variety of smaller things. And then we get the small pocket pets that have been chinchillas and ferrets and daegus, which was new to us.
What is a daegu?
A daegu is like a small chinchilla. It's of the same family, but they're smaller. They're just as quick. They have a lot of the same needs, so they do the little dust baths like chinchillas do. They're very fun, very personable. They will just climb all over you, and they're fun to play with.
And how is it that these animals come under your care? So these are abandoned, or they're neglected, or...
There's a variety of reasons. When it comes to the farm animals, it often has to do with neglect or abuse, and so those become county seizures. And we have to follow the law and the protocol in that. We cannot go respond to those calls to us where people observe something. We encourage them to call the sheriff and report it. They get so many reports, they will act upon it. For the smaller, more the domestic animals, often it's a case of either... maybe a family member has died who had the animals, and so they're put on our wait list. It could be that a veterinary clinic will call us and say some people brought in an animal. It has some terrible medical emergency or need, but the people cannot afford it. Can we take over and become the caretakers of it and provide the medical assistance needed? So in other words, these people have to sign it over to Center Valley Animal Rescue in order for us to proceed with any kind of medical need. And then we bring it in, and then when it's rehabbed, we're able to find new home for it. And there are certain animals that we do not take by phone call. So we do not put dogs on a list, a wait list, and we do not put horses on a wait list. But there are other animals that we will put on a wait list. So we have quite a variety.
You have a wildlife side and you have a domestic side. And you briefly touched on the intake process and guidelines. And that makes me think of what is the distinction between you and the Humane Society in terms of who you take, how you take, and how they're cared for and then distributed to homes?
Who we take is going to be much broader than what a Humane Society will take, because they're often not set up for a lot of the even domestic animals, and they're especially not set up for the farm animals, and they're not set up for the exotics either.
Okay.
Most of what they have are going to be the dogs and the cats. Sometimes they will have rabbits, but a lot of the other things they don't have. Or they will call us, and maybe they've gotten a domestic animal that they don't take, and they will call us to see if we have room for it. And we also network with other shelters across Western Washington, basically. And recently we had a call from Tacoma. They had over 250 cats. Would we be able to help them? So we did. And we've taken in some of the cutest, darndest little cats ever. And occasionally we'll take in just a couple more just to help them out. So we do get calls from all over. Now, as far as wildlife, certainly, that's something that the Humane Society doesn't do, but that is a separate arm of Center Valley Animal Rescue. So it has its own separate funding, and most of our funding is donations. So it's either donations to wildlife or donations to our farm and domestic animal section. So the wildlife, they're brought in, of course, usually by, it can be Fish and Wildlife, like when they brought the big black bear in.
You had a bear on the property for a while.
Well, for just a very short while. It's just that it needed medical care. Mm-hmm. And because of our new medical facility that we've had open now for a couple of years, Sarah was able to take that bear, get an x-ray of it in the medical facility, because we have a wonderful new digital x-ray machine. Again, thank you for donations and a generous donor for that. And she was able to find the problem. It had been shot, and get it fixed up, and they put it back in the carrier with Fish and Wildlife, and then they were able to take it to a remote area to release it.
That's amazing. So you serve the state. You have a statewide impact. And you are describing a couple of the entities within your organization. You have a medical care center. You have programs that are outreach for low cost. Do you have another program set that you offer?
We do. We have a monthly spay-neuter clinic for low income. We also serve other shelters, and we have had people from some of our local shelters bring in, whether it's cats, dogs, rabbits, to be spayed or neutered. And we have two volunteer veterinarians who come in for our clinics. And then we occasionally have vaccination clinics. So the vaccination clinics aren't held as often, but certainly a call to Center Valley Animal Rescue would be able to provide people with that information should they want to know if there's a vaccination clinic coming up. They can also find out about the upcoming spay-neuter clinic.
That is a fantastic. So this is an outreach to the community.
Yes.
You don't have to have an animal that needs rescuing. We could look to your organization for access to something that might be beyond our means as a as a pet owner.
Yes.
And you're a no-kill.
Yes.
You're a rehab.
Yes.
And your intentions are to have all of these animals adopted for, I'm
that
thinking
is our intention.
The exotics as well.
Oh yes, people have adopted our iguanas. That has been so fun to watch. I remember the first time I saw one of our iguanas adopted. I had walked in the building. It was one of our open hours days, and two of our volunteers were in there. And here's this woman standing there hugging our oldest iguana.
Oh, which one?
And what Godzilla.
Godzilla, okay.
And they said, look who's getting adopted.
A forever home for Godzilla.
And she sent us this beautiful little scrapbook that had pictures of him and her, like, napping on the couch together.
Oh.
Godzilla in the wading pool. It was adorable.
Talk
was
about wonderful. A selfie, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I had the opportunity to come to your property, and I did go into the exotic area, and I was struck by those two large iguanas, Komodo dragon.
Iguanas.
Iguanas.
Yes.
They have character. You know, you're a staff person on Andrea, I believe it is, had said, now watch this. This is, they're excited you're here. I spray them, and, well, this preening means, it was really informative, which is a good thing. thing for our listeners to know, they can come and tour your property to have a better understanding of how they might commit their time or dollars to your effort. So the address is located where? Where are you specifically located in
Quilcene? We're on Center Road, so it's 11900 Center Road. So that's almost 12 miles down Center Road, just north of Quilcene.
Well worth it, by the way. Yeah. I was enchanted. And so they could come to your property on any given day, or is there a specific visiting hours?
It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 11 to 3.
And do you prefer that they contact you for an appointment, or can they drop in?
They can drop in. Just come on by. It doesn't matter if they're coming for a tour or if they just want to bring the kids and show the kids a variety of animals and learn more about them. If they just want to...
Well, it's a great way for a volunteer to understand. Is this a way to know a little bit more about what you do as an organization?
It is. It definitely is. In fact, we encourage anybody who's thinking of volunteering to come take a tour of it. And that way they get more of a feel of where would they like to put their efforts. And not all volunteers are used just for cleaning the specific areas, although I've got to say, after doing it for 10 and a half years, I love it because I love getting to know the animals that come through there. I just have great fun with them.
I was really struck by the personality levels of all those creatures. Now, for our listeners who are just checking in, we are speaking with Pat Todd of Center Valley Animal Rescue on Everybody Can. And it's a really heartwarming organization in their effort to restore, repair, and care for animals that have either been abandoned, abused, or injured at some point. Now, you came into my understanding through a recent press piece out of King 5. I think your organization was involved with a bison rescue.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. And actually, that was on Channel 4.
Bison
rescue.
Okay.
Again, that was something, as I said, when it comes to farm animals, it's an action that has to be initiated by the sheriff's department. And they had gotten enough calls and complaints about the condition of these bison on Chimicum, in the Chimicum area, and they then contacted Sarah to see if this was something that she would be able to assist with, because once they take them, they had to take them somewhere. So that was quite the collaborative effort. And indeed, Sarah had to make some quick phone calls and make arrangements, because we don't have room on our property to house all those large bison. So she was able to find temporary housing for them very close to us until arrangements could be made for a more permanent transfer. And we found a wonderful place in Refarm Sanctuary down in Washougal. So that's where they have finally gone.
Lovely. That's how many were involved in that rescue?
I believe there were seven of them, but we also had the little baby, Tatonka.
Oh, Tatonka. Did the baby go down to be refarmed as well?
He's not quite ready.
Okay.
He was born prematurely, and he had a little difficulty getting started in his life. He didn't quite know what to do with mom and how he was to get nutrition.
Oh.
So he wasn't doing well, and Sarah had to whisk him away up to her place and try to work with him on a bottle, but he still was not getting the picture of what to do. So she had to do some tube feeding of him to get some nutrition in him, and he got stronger. He was doing okay. She had to do some transfusions too, which were very tricky, because that meant going down and finding a healthy bison that she could do it with, get the blood donor, bring it back, give it to the baby. But eventually that all worked its magic. Sarah worked her magic. And finally, baby learned how to take a bottle. So that was quite a momentous step right there. And now you can see videos of him running around.
Where can we find these videos if a listener wants to check in on this?
Well, there's a couple places. One, you might be able to find them on YouTube, but certainly find them on our Facebook page. So just look for Center Valley Animal Rescue on Facebook, and there will be videos of him.
What a hidden gem in that valley. So a little bit about misperception. Sometimes people have an understanding that it's appropriate perhaps to have a wild life type domestic slash animal.
Right.
And you had a raccoon recently that brought your organization to public awareness as well.
Yeah, and that was a Channel 5 coverage piece that did that. Yes, there a lot of people are under that misconception that if there is a baby that they find in the wild that it might be abandoned, and so they are going to take it and give it a nice little home. But it truly is illegal to have wildlife in your home. And I did talk with Fish and Wildlife this morning. I found, he pointed me to the direction of the where the law was that says it is unlawful to take live wildlife without a permit. So there are rules and situations where you can, but it requires permission and permit to do that. But in this case, there was no permission or permit, and these people had this raccoon for, I don't know, several years, and I don't know how it was brought to light. But it was Fish and Wildlife then stepped in because that's what they have to do. Mm. And they had to take that animal. So again, here you have an entity taking an animal, but they have to find out where, who is going to take it from that point. Somebody has to care for this animal. Just like when the sheriff's department seizes animals and they have to make sure, okay, where are we going to take this? We can't just keep it ourselves. So they contacted some of the different, like three different wildlife rehabilitation organizations, ours being one of them. And ours was the only one that was able to take this raccoon.
Does the raccoon have a name?
It is. Its name is Miss May.
Miss May. Okay. And she lives with you to this day?
She is. She is actually housed with our, we have another raccoon there. We have special permit for her. She's an educational raccoon because when she came for rehab, Sarah discovered that she had some neurological problems and she was deaf, which meant that she could not be released to the wild and be able to survive. So she got special permission from Fish and Wildlife to keep her. And so the thought was, bring Miss May in for companionship. There was not a lot of love between the two of them to start with.
Oh, dear.
But at one point, it just everything changed, and now they're best buddies. They sleep in the hammock together. They play together.
Oh, my goodness.
And so she's looking at expanding the space for the raccoon, but it requires more funding to be able to expand that space.
Well, on that note, funding is one of the ways folks can get involved, but we have a few more minutes left in our program. I'd love to make sure we have some time to talk about how does a volunteer get involved, and just a, you know, a high view of what those tasks might be.
Volunteers can get involved, and we would love for volunteers to get involved by calling Center Valley Animal Rescue. The phone number is...
And these are project-based or reoccurring roles, either?
Either one.
Okay.
And not, I think I mentioned earlier, not everything is about cleaning.
Right. You have a food program. You've got a food bank. And
we have a food bank. But some of the other things we're looking at for those who just don't have that physical ability to lift and carry and bend, laundry. We would love a person each day to be able to do the laundry. There's so much of it. And be able to keep it folded and
never would occur.
And work with our team. We have teams every day.
And you accept blankets and towels at your location?
We do.
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
We do.
Other roles for volunteers?
Other roles would be newsletter distribution. There would be also looking at other minor things, again, that have nothing to do with cleaning. But then there's the cleaning and associating directly with the animals. And we have both inside cleaners and we have the outside farm animal people.
So it really lets you lean into the passion that you have as a volunteer. You've got administrative, you've got hands-on with the creatures, you've got some outreach through your newsletter. Pat, I wish we had more time to talk about your personal involvement in with this organization, but we are out of time here. So in the last few minutes, upcoming something for someone to look forward to on your website that might be incredibly timely in the next fall that you've got? You do outreach for inoculations or?
We do. Well, it'll be for spay-neuter clinics.
Okay.
And that's something that you'd probably just keep in touch with Center Valley Animal Rescue directly by phone.
Okay.
And otherwise, our next big event that we'll have is the Holiday Open House, which is the first Saturday in December. A lot of fun. Lots of raffle baskets.
Oh, put that on your calendar.
Food. Great fun.
Let's make sure we hear from you before Christmas, okay?
We'd love to.
All right,
you
Pat.
Bet.
Well, so glad to have you on the air today. Everybody Can is a production of KPTZ 91.9. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen. Our program today is in the expert hands of our sound engineer, Jared Dufresne. I would like to thank our programming manager, Larry Stein, and all of the incredible volunteers that work hard to bring eclectic music, local news, and conversations to us here on the North Olympic Peninsula. You can also join us on the web at kptz.org. Make it a great day.